Today is a special day. It is the beginning of Go Love Tell. It's the beginning of Kid Life 2015. Now, over the last several years, there have been a number of people who on occasion have said, Dawson really needs to engage in a major missions initiative. And sometime we ought to do that. I remember being in a meeting several years ago, I think it was 2007, and someone said, you know, we need a children's building next, and after that's finished, why don't we look at doing something significant in missions? Well, after the building was completed, our missions committee began really expanding the idea of what is significant. Rather than just a project to work on that might last a few months or where we get excited about raising money, our missions committee has led us to really a different approach to doing ministry. It's where we're deeply involved, not only with the resources, but with our time. And now we're going five places, at least five places, here in Birmingham, Maine, Northeast Africa, Southeast Asia, and Tanzania. We're going to be involved in a variety of ministries. We're going to be teaching reading here. We're going to be planting churches in Maine. We're going to be building a pediatric wing to a hospital in Tanzania. We're going to be involved in discipleship ministry, training pastors and lay leaders in Northeast Africa, Southeast Asia. We're going to be involved in helping build a middle school, add a middle school to an existing Christian school. You think about all those things. Now, these are things we've never done before. And we're going places we've never been before. And in that process, that can be a little frightening or overwhelming. And our first thought is, well, how do we do this? Well, how do we go to three countries that are predominantly Muslim? And how do we share the faith there? Although I visited Muslim countries, I've never done ministry there, and I don't think very many of us have. Where do you start? What do you do first? Fortunately, we have someone in our church that has been involved in ministry in Muslim countries. Tim Simpson, come and join me on the platform. Tim leads our journey service that meets in the Arendal building every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in the loft. And Tim's got experience. Tim has served as a missionary with East-West Ministries and now still is involved with them. I know you supervise and coordinate activities in Muslim countries today. Now, guide us, because we're going to be sending teams there. How do we make an impact in that part of the world? What advice would you give us?
Yeah. It can be a bit intimidating. We think of it in sort of those terms. But I love the process that we have here and the name of the missions program we have, Go Love Tell. And that sort of helps us walk through, and specifically in the Muslim world. First, go. You know, they say, you know, 90% of ministry is showing up. And actually, it's a real important statistic. If you look at every man, woman, and child alive in the whole world today, all over the globe, all the cultures, nations, tribes, tongues, languages, roughly 30% of them have virtually no exposure to the gospel. They don't have a church in their area. They may never have met a believer. They may or may not have scriptures in their language. And they almost certainly have never heard personally the life-changing reality that comes as you put your faith in Christ and receive forgiveness of sins and acceptance before God and eternal life. Never heard it. So as we go to these places, as we go to places that are Muslim background, and we've had the privilege of living in two countries that are Muslim, it's a privilege. You get to know people that you will love, but you get to go and share with them something that they have never heard before, but is of eternal significance. So going, it's just getting out there and doing it. But what do you do when you get there? Well, part of it's just being you, bringing what you have to the table, however you're serving, in all sorts of ways. In one Muslim country we lived in, we loved our neighbors, and one of our neighbors, one of the key things towards him beginning his spiritual journey was actually us just helping him get some medicine. He had a son that was sick and was pretty bad, and someone was trying to bribe him to get medicine, and he didn't have the money. And we actually just helped him work it out so he could actually get money from another, get medicine from another source and get it taken care of. And that was the thing. He saw that. He's like, wait a second, why do you love me? You're a Christian. I'm a Muslim. And that led the process of being able to share the love of Christ with him and began his spiritual journey. So you're just going to be able to love people. Now, you know, you may be going, wait a second, I'm going to an Islamic country. I don't know anything about Islam. I've never read the Quran. You know, what if they ask me questions I don't know? It's okay. Just be you. And in fact, if you go with a learner stance, if you go to learn, you many times have the most opportunities to share. Because you can ask them, hey, I don't know a lot about Islam. But I understand that all religions are people trying to get to God. All religions realize there's a problem with sin. All religions are trying to figure out some way to address that. How do you do that in your faith? Do you have a sense of confidence of that's taken care of? Or how does that work in your faith? And that naturally leads them to ask you, well, how does it work in yours? And then you can share the story of what God's done in your life and the story of what God has done through Jesus Christ for all people. And so as we go, you know, as we love and as we tell, God will work. And he's doing this all over the world, in Muslim countries and all sorts of countries all around the globe.
Now, we're a praying church here, Tim. And we're going to be praying for the ministries that are in that part of the world and for the missionaries that we're sending and for all the things that happen. But how do we pray in a wise and spiritual manner other than, Lord, bless them, and whatever happens, you know, protect them and bring them home? How do we really pray for mission and missionaries in that part of the world?
No, that's great. I have a confession to make. There's a prayer that Jesus told us to pray in the Bible about missions that I actually preached on a couple times before I actually realized I wasn't even doing it myself. And you may have heard this passage. It may be a very familiar passage to you, but this is a passage about prayer for missions that I try to make a regular part of my routine. There's one part of Jesus' ministry. He was looking around at the crowds, and he saw this sea of humanity. And he said they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he gave a command to pray a prayer. And this is the prayer. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. So that's a command from Jesus to pray that prayer. And we should pray that prayer. We say, God, please send out laborers into your harvest field. And we need to be praying that. And the funny thing is, as we pray that prayer, something begins to happen in us. We go, God, please send out workers from that harvest field into your harvest field. Please send them out, even from our own church. Even from my own Sunday school class. Even from my own life group. Even from our youth group. Even from our children's ministry. Even from my family. Even my kids and maybe even God has a way of sort of moving that closer and closer to us as we pray. But regardless, we need to be praying that he would send out laborers into his harvest field. But the other thing you can be praying for, specifically about the Muslim world, and you guys may have heard about this, that in these places of the world where there's not an active presence, where there aren't churches on every corner like there are here, where there aren't believers telling about the gospel, God is still at work. And he's oftentimes doing it through dreams. He will give Muslim background peoples visions of a man in white, or specifically a vision of Jesus. They recognize as Jesus, and they don't know what to do with it, but they realize he's holy. And then someone comes to share with them, they go, he's the one I had a dream about. I mean, once I was with a Kurdish man, and I felt led, and I asked him, I said, have you had a dream of a man in white? He's like, How did you know? And so then he told me about his dream, and then I told him about Christ. And so God is at work. So you can be praying that God will be giving people dreams, that he'll be giving them visions, and that we'll be led to those people to be able to share the message. But you can also be praying that God will just allow us to go to love and to tell and to watch him work. And we can pray expectantly because he is the Lord of the harvest. And he's the one who's building his church, even in Muslim lands.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for the insight and the spiritual truth you've given us. Thank you for your ministry and journey. And in the journey, participants are with us today in this sanctuary, and we thank you today for how God's using you. Well, you've heard some very practical ways that our church can impact, and also how we pray. Now, as we think about what's next for us, it's important to remember everything we do here is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We're not doing this because someone had a bright idea. Hey, wouldn't it be exciting? Let's have a mission trip. We're not doing it because we think, you know, look, here is what we need to do to go change the rest of the world so they can be just like us in America. No, what we're doing is rooted and grounded in Scripture. Normally at the start of a sermon, we read the Scripture, but today it's at the end. Three Scriptures I want you to plant in your mind. First, Psalm 96:3. Psalm 96:3, you've already heard it once today. Let's read it in unison. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. Psalm 96:3. This is an Old Testament passage that very clearly states God's purpose for His people. And that is, we declare what God has done, God's glory. Why are we doing this? Because that's God's purpose for His people. And then in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a passage that you're very familiar with and we've read two or three times during this series. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, as you look upon that in the screen with your imaginary highlighter, highlight the promise, the provision, but you will receive power. Notice what Jesus said. He said, you will receive power, and then He told them what to do, to be witnesses. We're not doing this in our own power. This project is far too big for Dawson. We don't have the gifts, the resources to make it happen on our own in the flesh. But the provision is there. That provision is, Jesus has told us, you're going to have power. Now, that's not economic power, it's not political power, it's spiritual power. The Lord's going to be involved in this, in Go Love Tell, and in Kid Life. It's in the power of the Lord. That's the provision. Then in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, and during Acts, during this Go Love Tell emphasis, we focused entirely on the book of Acts. The book of Acts, verse 28, ends with this thought. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will receive it. There is a promise. Provision, purpose, provision, promise. And that promise, in advance, the Scripture says, you're going to take this gospel, and they will receive it. Now, we know not everyone will receive the gospel, but we know wherever we go, some will. We're not going and just hoping for the best and saying to our mission teams, you go and you try hard, and maybe if you do all it right, and if you learn the right formula and you get all the right words, maybe someone will respond. Now, what does the Scripture say? And they will receive it. God's already working in the hearts of people who need to hear, who need to see, who need to experience. We need to every day connect with God's purpose. Why are we doing this? And as you pray, think about, this is the reason we're doing it, not because it's a Dawson program. It's been God's purpose for his people for the ages. And as you pray, don't just pray for the physical and emotional strength of those who are going. You pray asking that the power of the Holy Spirit may anoint their life from the expressions on their face to how they respond to every situation. And pray with expectancy. Every day, pray and say, Lord, I thank you for the people in Birmingham and in Maine and in Tanzania and Southeast Asia and Northeast Africa that are going to accept you today. I thank you in advance because we trust the promise. Connect with the purpose, connect with the provision, connect with the promise. Now, today, this is commitment day. Externally and internally. Over the past several weeks, you've had the opportunity to pray about how you will be involved. You each should have received commitment cards, and if you didn't, or if you've misplaced yours, there are commitment cards in all of the pews. There'll be, and if even today you're not sure what God's leading you, there are more commitment cards as you leave. Today, as we receive the offering, we're asking every member to give a sacrificial gift, because we're beginning this program and we're sending folks tomorrow, and we'll be able to. We've had enough money come in that we're going to send a team of four that you'll meet later. They'll head for Maine tomorrow, beginning to help plant a church. There is a card with a blue label at the top. That is regarding your financial commitment. Remember, our commitment cards here are not binding agreements. It's you're estimating what you think God would have you do over the next 5 years. And we encourage, it's important that we turn in our commitment cards because we're not going in debt for this program. We're not going to borrow money. We're only going to be able to do it as we have commitments to do it. So as God leads in your heart, please turn in a commitment card. And then there's a commitment card, and I've got the colors backwards. The blue one's service. The red one is the financial commitment card. The blue card is where you're committing to serve. In Birmingham, Maine, Northeast Africa, Tanzania, Southeast Asia, or I'm willing to serve wherever I'm needed. And by serving, some of you, you may just be engaging in the prayer team. But we encourage you this morning to make these commitments to God. Usually, we have a prayer before we take the offering. This morning, we're going to have a prayer after we receive the offering. And we're going to commission these offerings to the Lord. So this morning, as we receive our regular tithes and offerings, our commitments that are above the budget, our sacrificial gift to Go Love Tell, and our commitments to serve, we invite you to make this a very special moment of worship where you recognize that because God has given to you, you are returning to Him. Will our ushers receive the morning offering?